Barry, how are you doing alongside Brian Burke, Anthony Stewart, and David Amber?
Well, I'm just like everybody else, trying to stay busy, taking a positive approach, I guess, of the time that we have to spend at home. A lot of times you don't get that opportunity, so I'm getting to do some things that I haven't in the past. So, but it's a tough time for everybody. Obviously, in the New York area, we're getting hit the hardest, and you see it on the front lines. We're a little bit pushed out from the Manhattan area out on the island here, but they have a little more space. But we get a lot of day-to-day input from our governor, who I think is doing a fantastic job of trying to control the situation.
You mentioned you're doing some things, you know, like a lot of us, whether it's, you know, fixing up things around the house or catching up on some TV amidst or what's the case. How do you measure the balance between obviously keeping your mind on the hockey season and the hopeful resumption of that and kind of just stepping away from that like everyone else and you know, doing things with your family, et cetera? How are you balancing it all, Barry?
Well, I think I try to go on my I have a special needs son who actually is still in school, so he does school online in the morning, so I try to emulate that a little bit. I go to either hockey school, work on some stuff with our own team. I was just on a conference call with a few other coaches that are come up with a couple subjects, and we sort of have a coffee with coaches type thing and talk about the game, the trends, those type of things. Just to keep our mind in it a little bit, which is that, and also reaching out to players that are in the area, reaching out to players that are away, just making sure that they're okay, and also your trainers and your support staff. A lot of times as coaches, you just worry about your players, but you have such a wide-ranging support staff that you want to make sure that they're taken care of. And Lou, my boss, we try to get on conference calls with those people, make sure that they're taken care of. And if anybody's in a tough situation, we try to Lou is fantastic at correcting those situations. So we've been staying pretty busy. And then usually, like most of us, I'm at home, so I'm not the boss. So usually I have one or two things that I have to do around the house and project-wise, and then I try to have my own project that I've put off for a while.
That's
and then
Barry
do
Trotz.
Family things.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the rest of us. I've taken my marching orders when I need to, of course. Barry Trotz, the head coach of the New York Islanders. Real quick follow-up before I let Berkey and Stewie jump in. You mentioned having these conference calls with other coaches, which is a really interesting dynamic. I mean, these are your peers, but they're also, you know, your adversaries when you're staring at the other bench for 82 games. How are those calls going? Are you guys sharing sort of things that are helping you with your team and they're sharing things that are helping them with their teams? Is that what the calls are like?
No, they're a little bit. There's a bunch of people who have been. There are a lot of college coaches, junior coaches, and just bench dynamics and staff dynamics and stuff like that. So trends in the game. So not a lot of team by team situations. It's sharing experiences more than anything.
Stewie,
I just wanted to ask. Do you prefer coaching teams that have a superstar, or does it really make you have to really dig deep into your coaching style and really bring out your best as a coach, not having a team like the Islanders that don't have multiple superstars? What do you prefer?
Well, I as a coach, you're looking for a team. I'd love superstars. I've had the opportunity to have different style teams, with similar identities, but opposite identities in some ways. Obviously, my former place in Washington, you got stars like Alex Ovechkin. Those are great challenges because you're looking at a player who does something very unique and trying to grow him in areas that, just the goal scoring in Alex's case, he grew as a person, as a leader, defensively. I love the way he's grown away from the game. He values his value system's a lot different than maybe it was when he was 21 or 22 years old and turning the league on its ear with his talent and his passion and finding and growing to become a really good leader and leading in the right areas and understanding the balance between all that. you know, those type of things are great. And then you have those you know, a guy like Kuznetsov in Washington, who grew from a player who wasn't playing a lot, and growing his game to now he's a star. I've got the situation with Matthew Barzal, who I just is going to be a star in this league. We've got a couple other players that I think that can be stars down the road. But it's going to take time, and I really value the challenges of every team and look at every team as its own group. You can't be the same coach that I was in Nashville versus Washington versus the Islanders. I've got to grow with the group. I've got to figure out what is the strength of the group is and apply what I do and what they do so that we can have success together. And that's what I look for when I'm, you know, coaching a team and trying to grow players, and we do that all the time. I think there's a partnership between the coaches and the player to grow him within the boundaries of the team success. So, you know, I've been able to do that for a long time, and I've had varying degrees of success, and I keep trying to learn. I think as a coach, if you're going to be in this league, you can't be the same. I'm not the same coach I was when I started. And I won't be the same coach next year as I was this year. But certain fundamentals that will be the same.
So you want to
joined
call
by Barry Trotz, head coach of the New York Islanders. Go ahead, Berkey.
Sorry, Trotzy, it's Berkey. I was looking, researching this last night, knowing you were coming on. Talk about your Calder Cup team in Portland. Who are your stars on that team?
on that team in Portland, I had a lot of guys that we had some veteran players. Probably my star player was Jeff Nelson, Todd Nelson, who coaches in the league. His younger brother, guys like Mike Bobak, Michelle Picard, were on that team. John Slaney, Jason Woolley. We had a team the following year that I think I had 13 players that were drafted that ended up going on to play for the Washington Capitals, guys like Anson Carter and Stefan Ustorf and Sergei Gonchar and people like that. Andrew Brunette was one of the guys on the Calder Cup team. He wasn't a star. He was actually an extra player at that time. He was really young. We had a good group of veteran players and really solid players. Probably my star, just like as any coach will say, your best player is your best player. My best player probably was our goaltender, Olaf Kolzik. Byron Defoe and Olaf Kolzik were my goaltenders that year. So we had a number of good players, young players. And then the following year, I think we went, it was a lockout year, I believe. And we started the season undefeated in 21 games with a really good core of veteran players. Brian Curran was on that team. Jeff Nelson, Todd Nelson was on that team as well. And we went at 21 games until the NHL resumed play, and we lost half our team to the Capitals that year.
And that team, just to point out that Barry Trotz is maybe not the same coach he was then. Kevin Kaminsky, 263 PIMS. Brian Curran, do I need to keep going? Kerry Clark, 309. Ryan Curran, 247. That team fought a fair amount.
Yeah, no, we did. I thought it was really important. One of the things that we did back then in Portland was we had a unique situation in Portland. And Jack Button, if a lot of people remember, was the assistant GM and player development in Washington when I was there. He gave me a task when we moved up to Portland, Maine. He goes, these are the 12 players that I need to play. And so I was in charge of signing all the depth players and coaching that team. And basically I went out and I built the lines based on the talent that we had. And I made sure that our young players were playing and they were surrounded by veteran players. And I thought it was really important that the year before we really didn't have any toughness, that we needed to have an element of grit. You get to the playoffs, you need that grit, truculence, as you would say. And I went and got those guys. I went and got character guys, Kevin Kaminsky, Kerry Clark, Brian Kern, Jeff Cirka. I had a number of those type of guys, just to protect the kids a little bit, but also have an identity that we were going to be hard to play against, and we can come at you different ways. We can come at you with our quickness and speed. We can come at you with our physicality. And we had some tremendous teams in Portland, and we had a great rivalry with Providence. It was and the Albany River Rats at the time, they were New Jersey's farm team. They had an excellent team. And I think my second year there, I thought we had the best team, and then it sort of went south when we lost all our players to the NHL once they started up again. I had Jim Carrey on that team. My goalies were Kolzik, Defoe, and Jim Carrey. Jeez. That second year. We actually sent Kolzik and Defoe to other teams because we felt we had a strong team, and we wanted Jim Carrey to play. We had an abundance of good goaltenders at the time. And we built our team based on, as I say, having a good balance. You're going to need those role players. You're going to need those veteran players. You're going to need the truculence, as you would say, Berkey, and you're going to need the skill. And I had guys like Jason Allison, if people remember him, and obviously Anson Carter. I had a scorer from Quebec named Martin Gendron. I played some in the NHL. German kid, Stefan Ustorf. We had a number of players that played in the NHL roster. Sergei Gonchar being one of the bigger names there from that group. But we had great team in Portland, and we had a lot of fun. And we put Portland back on the map and for the years that we were there, and got to the won a Calder Cup and got to the finals again as well.
Barry Trotz, head coach of the New York Islanders. Have you continued that same philosophy into the NHL? Because if I look at your current roster and you look at the Ross Johnstons and the Matt Martins, etc., Casey Cizikas, it seems like that's sort of the identity of your Islanders team right now as well. Truculence, toughness, balance. Would you say that's what you've strived to have there as this group as well?
Well, when I came into this situation on the island on a little bit late to the party, so the roster was a little bit set in terms of that, and I think you need that. If you're going to go far during the year, you're going to need a little bit of that. I feel this year it was a more of a challenge this year. You look at that, you look at what we call our identity line, or teams around the league call it, the Cizikas line with Martin and Clutterbuck. Last year, they were healthy almost 95% of the year. This year, that group has been together, I would probably wager to guess, maybe 15 or 20 games where they've been together. And you could see in our team, we weren't as consistent. We weren't as in that area, missing a guy like Casey in the middle, Clutter on times, and Matt Martin. Our identity went a little bit south. We tried to, I'll say, overcoach a little bit, trying to clean up areas that we felt we could get a little bit better instead of just staying to what we did really well. And we got a little bit away from what we do well. So every year is a little bit different. You move one or two players, injuries, schedule, whatever. Every year is sort of a new journey, but we had a really good start, and then I think our game faded a little bit. We had a lot of injuries to and Berkey and guys, you can get injuries and survive them, but if you get the wrong injuries, it's tough to survive them. So I think we had some of those wrong injuries this year at the wrong times. It didn't allow us to keep our head above water enough where we'd be in a little bit better situation. But we're right there at the playoff race. We're in that A spot, points percentage wise, if we get started up again. So I think that the break actually would be a good reset for the New York Islanders.
Hey Barry, a real quick follow up before I throw it back to Stewie and Berkey. What's your advisement right now? What do you want your players to be doing just to be prepared if the NHL does resume?
Obviously, from a standpoint, every coach will say, you want to make sure that you're keeping up your physical presence, your cardio, all that, so that you're ready physically to play. But to me, it's mentally being ready to put in the work, staying a little bit disciplined in some of your your physical disciplines, your mental disciplines that you do, finding creative ways to stay active. Stay involved with your teammates as much as you can. That's what you want from your players, that they're, you know, when, if we, I believe the NHL is going to get back playing at some point. Society and this virus is going to, you know, really assign a date to that eventually. But when we get back, and hopefully we do have a playoff, it's going to be a great opportunity for the teams that are there. And I've been fortunate enough to win a Stanley Cup, and there's nothing like it. And it's going to be a unique situation. Everybody's going to start from, you know, from the same goal line, essentially. And it'll be a great opportunity. You know, they don't ask you how you did it; they just ask you if you did it. And you know, you get an opportunity to do it. So it's going to be unique if we get playing again. But first and foremost, we want everybody to stay healthy, and the right decisions have to be made. And we've got great leadership in the NHL. We've got great leadership in the state of New York. Personally, with Governor Cuomo, the world's a changing time. And if it hasn't come to, you know, Toronto to the extent of New York, you know, watch what's happening in New York, and for the people, stay diligent. You know, really diligent, because this is real. It's not something that's, you know, across the pond or somewhere in some foreign country. This is real. That's going to affect all of North America.
You mentioned the governor, Trotsky, and we have him on right now. It's binge watching CNN with this pandemic, and boy, is this guy impressive.
He is. You talk about we get on these little chats with the coaches, and you know, we bring them up all the time. You talk about someone who is accepting a challenge, not afraid of a challenge, and dealing with it. I mean, every, you know, you look at our history, every generation has had these moments where you're tested as a generation, you know, wars, depressions, those type of things. We're in a different, you know, type of war, but this is our sort of moment as a generation. And if we stay diligent, we'll get through this. We're diligent people, Canadians, Americans, all across the world. We're diligent. And if we stay diligent on this, we're going to take this over, and we'll get back to normal life. And we may have to dig ourselves out of a little bit of a hole here and there, but nothing is really worth anything unless you have to go through a little bit of hardship to get it, and put in the blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. And you know, when it applies to our game, no team wins a Stanley Cup without sacrificing a big part of something. You know, emotionally, physically, all those things are involved, and this is just in a different venue and a lot bigger and more important venue than sport right now.